Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Season 3, Episode 4 of the Colonels All Ear Podcast, presented to you as always by Miracle Ear. I'm Calvin Cristoforo, and we're very happy to be joined by two guys with the same name. We got Johnny Wilson and John Wilson. Johnny, of course, a Cedar Rapids left-handed pitcher, and John Wilson, a scout for the Minnesota Twins, of course, the parent organization of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. You can listen to all Colonels, all their podcasts on wherever you can listen to your podcast, the podcast app on your Android or Apple device. You can listen to us on Spotify. Also, now you can watch this podcast on YouTube, where our smiling faces are at the moment. If you also haven't listened to our first couple podcasts of the season, episode 1, we talked to Sestos of Twins Daily. He did a little season preview for us. Episode 2 was a tour of the brand new Cedar Rapids Colonels Clubhouse with Colonels Clubhouse manager Chance Miller. And then last week, we talked to Tanner Schobel, Cedar Rapids Colonels infielder, about his early experiences in Cedar Rapids. But we had a fun one today. John Wilson and Johnny Wilson, father and son combination, both guys really dedicated to the Twins organization at the moment. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
That's nice great to be us. Here.
Yeah.
See, you can tell they're father and son. They speak at the same time. I guess we'll, John, I want to start with you because you've been around baseball and seen probably more baseball than a lot of people in this world combined. I'm just curious, you know, how did you get with the Twins? How did you get into scouting? I want to know how you got into this profession you've been in for a long time now.
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty interesting journey myself. When I finished playing in college, I played at a small college in New Jersey, Division III program. The World Series, the Division III World Series is now in Cedar Rapids, right?
Yep, it is.
Yeah, back then it was in Marietta. My team, when I played, we went to the Division III World Series in Marietta. And then when I coached, we went to the Division III World Series in New Britain, Connecticut. So when I finished playing, I just went right into the coaching end. I hadn't graduated yet, so they made me like an undergraduate assistant coach. And I graduated, and then I stayed on. And I did all the recruiting. I started doing all the recruiting, going out on the road, watching games, and met a lot of guys, met a lot of scouts, and, you know, we had a really successful recruiting class. My last recruiting class, the class of, they graduated high school in 89. They wound up winning the Division III World Series in 92. But I met a bunch of people, a bunch of scouts, and one guy in particular was he was a college coach at the time at Seton Hall University, and he kind of took me under his wing, taught me how to recruit, showed me where to go, different things. And he wound up getting a scouting job with the Blue Jays, and they moved him to Florida. And so he met a lot of people. One of the guys with the Twins said the Twins had an opening up in New Jersey, and had asked him, did you know anybody who would make a good scout? And he recommended me. And Terry Ryan, who went on to be the GM, he was a scouting director at the time. And him and the East Coast supervisor, Kevin Malone, who wound up being the general manager of the Dodgers years later, they flew into New Jersey and interviewed, I think, five guys. And they Terry called me like 2 days later and offered me the job.
And you've been there ever since. So what is, like, just from an outsider's perspective, I know it's, you know, probably hard for me or anyone else to grasp what a scout's day-to-day slash life is like. We've seen the movies, I think Trouble with the Curves, the movie where they try to do a little bit of scouting background, pull back the curtain a little bit. But what is it really like on the road meeting these players and watching, you know, what they do, how they play?
Well, I think that's the, for me, that's the lure. That's the attraction is the hunt. and trying to, you know, see a 17, 18 year old kid and figure out how he's going to handle the adversity, how he's going to handle the lifestyle, how his skills and his tools are set up to, you know, for ceiling, how, you know, how good could he be? And just put, I think part of what keeps me going is trying to figure all that out and say, hey, this guy's going to be a good player. Like, this guy's going to be a good major leaguer. And then on a personal note, you know, obviously I'm a baseball fan. So, you know, when these guys, whether we sign them or not, you know, it's fun to turn on, you know, any TV, any game, and there's someone on the field that I saw in high school or college, or I sat in their living room and things like that. So, you know, and there's always a story. There's a story behind every kid, whether I signed him or not. You know, you remember seeing this guy and where you ate that day and things like that. So I think that's the best part of it all.
So you're located in the Northeast. How big is your scouting radius?
So now, since 2009, it's I have Maine to Virginia. So it's huge.
Okay, that is big.
Parts or all of 12 states.
I'm a Maine guy myself. No, I mean, you haven't come to any of my games. That's fine. when I was playing back in high school.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the Miracle Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
I want to flip over to you now, Johnny. You know, you're coming into this and you grew up New Jersey, Yankees territory as a Twins fan. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was interesting. All my friends were either Mets or Yankees fans. So trying to explain to them that I was a Twins fan, it was kind of tough. But yeah, it was really nice because whenever the Twins came into town into New York, we would pretty much go to like every game and get to go on the field and stuff. And so we've spent a lot of time at old Yankee Stadium and then new Yankee Stadium. So those were a lot of really cool experiences. And just getting to meet the players like Torii Hunter, Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau, all those guys on those, you know, those old Twins teams. It was really cool growing up.
So, John, when Johnny comes in the picture, you know, how much are you bringing him around with you, and how cool was, you know, getting this young kid around major leaguers while he was growing up and you were working with the team?
Yeah, it was great. He had so much passion for baseball since he was an infant, like literally. We would hit all the time and pitch all the time. Like, you know, he was always wanted to practice and things like that. So when I realized he had the stamina to go on the road with me, it was, you know, it was a dream come true because, you know, I could give him experiences every little kid dreams about. And, you know, and I'm not totally away from my family. You know, I have my son with me the whole time, you know, and we can, you know, I can remember one trip in particular. I was covering the Eastern League, and he came up with me to Manchester, New Hampshire. So we checked into the hotel, and then we would always find the Little League field nearby. You know, I had a bucket of balls and all his gear in my trunk, and we would go work out. I'd throw him batting practice from like 10:30 to 12:30, go back to the hotel, eat, shower, and then we'd go to the minor league game like 3:30, 4 o'clock to watch batting practice for a 7 o'clock game. And here's this 6 or 7 year old, you know, at the minor league stadium till 11 o'clock at night, you know, like it was kind of freakish that he would sit there and just watch the game and just love being there. And we'd get up the next morning and do the same thing. And like this one trip in particular, we went to Portland like 3 or 4 days later, and we found a little league field and we worked out. And you know, from a father-son standpoint, it doesn't get any better than that. Plus, he's watching these guys. You know, I knew a couple guys. I remember in particular, like Eric Duncan was a big prospect with the Yankees. You know, he spent time, and I think Johnny took batting practice with Eric underneath the stadium. You know, like everybody always treated him like gold. Like, and they always, you know, spent time with him and talked to him. And you know, when our, at the time, our double A team was in New Britain, so when I would go to New Britain, they'd let him be the bat boy. So, and actually his 8th birthday was, we were in New Britain. So the manager, Stan Clyburn, got a big, huge sheet cake. And after the game, all the players sang to him, you know, for his birthday. So, you know, what little kid, you know, doesn't want to, and Denard Span actually, I have a picture of Denard Span, put him up on his shoulder while the players all sang to him.
That's incredible. I mean, Johnny, what were these experiences like for you?
It was unreal. I remember I took BP on the field with, I think it was AAA Rochester. And I remember Trevor Plouffe was on that team. And there was a few other guys who ended up going on and playing in the big leagues for a little while. And just stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's really no way to put it into words. And that played really a huge role in kind of shaping me and helping me like become the person I am today. So it was a lot of fun.
Do you remember this this 8th birthday in New Britain with the sheet cake story?
I do. Yeah, I remember walking in the clubhouse after the game, and I was out. Once the game ended, all the players went back in the clubhouse. And everybody was around the dugout, like, asking for baseballs. And so I thought they were talking to me. So I kept running back in the dugout, and there was the bucket of BP balls in there. And I kept throwing balls up there. I probably threw, like, 20 baseballs up into the stands. And then somebody had to come get me and tell me to come into the clubhouse because they were waiting for me. And so I went in, and the whole team started singing to me. And then Denard put me up on his shoulders, and then he came up and shook my hand. And he had a $20 bill in his hand, and I didn't know what to do. So I just like gave him a high five, and then he handed it to me and said, like, this is for you. So that's stuff like that was really cool, especially to, you know, watch him go on and play in the big leagues for a while. You know, every time I saw him on TV, like, I remember, you know, the way he treated me and the way all those guys treated me. So it was really cool.
From your perspective, I mean, aside from that story, what was this, you know, experience this part of your life, like traveling around and finding these little league fields and watching, you know, professional games almost every night?
I mean, it was a dream come true. Like, you know, there was really nothing else that I wanted to do. I would have much rather done that rather than, you know, sit at home and play with my friends or my siblings or something like that. You know, I liked the life on the road. I was in love with baseball. So, you know, as much baseball as I could watch, I couldn't get enough of it.
Do you have a favorite memory that sticks out to you?
I think it was that time in Maine when we found a little league field and we would go out and hit. And I forget how long we were there for, but we went to this field a few days in a row, and we were taking BP, and we made a bet that if I hit a home run, he would buy me a PS3, I think, at the time. And I didn't have a PlayStation. I think I had an older Xbox. I wanted the new PlayStation. And I was using a wood bat on a little league field. So I think the fences were about 200 feet. And I forget how old I was at the time. But I think it was like the last day I finally hit a home run. And, and he bought me the PlayStation when we got home.
Is this this kind of a hint to Coach Dinkelman? You want some at bats coming up here soon?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
I
was gonna say the pitchers always field batting practice, so I mean, you can play the outfield and you can get some at bats.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I used to tell our coaches in college that all the time too. Like, hey, you know, if you need me, I'm ready.
I hit a home run with the wood bat on a little league field when I was 11.
Well, I actually started hitting in college for one year. I became a two-way. I got about 20 at-bats. I think my official line was like 2-for-12 with like 5 or 6 walks. I had a walk-off walk in there. So it was cool. But
you didn't want to continue. You didn't want to continue with the bat?
Well, pitching, I knew pitching was my route, but I definitely do miss hitting. And I'll still go in the cages sometimes. I went in like our last home series. I went in one day and just took some swings.
There you go.
Yeah.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Calvin Cristoforo talking to John Wilson and John Wilson on the Colonels All Year podcast, presented as always by Miracle Ear. John, a scout with the Minnesota Twins. Johnny, a left-handed pitcher on the Cedar Rapids Colonels. John, I want to talk about Johnny now going from little leaguer, traveling with the team, to developing into a guy who's almost ready to play professional baseball. How did you see that transition go, you know, in his high school years and his college years? And you're like, okay, maybe he has a route playing this at a professional level.
Well, he could always throw strikes. So I used to tell him, like, don't worry about velocity, just locate. And then I said, if you know how to pitch, someone will always want you. That was always my theme because, you know, velocity started probably as he was growing up, becoming a focal point, you know, on social media, things like that. Everybody's talking about velocity. But, you know, I used to cover the major leagues every year, and I watched a lot of pitchers over the years. Didn't throw 90, but they hit, you know, Jamie Moyer, I watched him one night, you know, he was 79-81, and he threw a one hitter against the Brewers, you know, and Jimmy Key and just guys like that. They didn't throw exceptionally hard, but they just knew how to pitch. So I thought, you know, learning how to be a pitcher, you know, gave you a fallback if you didn't throw hard. I think, you know, throwing hard is, you know, it's become a science now, but back then it was more, you know, you either had it or you didn't. So how can you predict who's going to have it? So that was the big thing for me. And he could always pitch, you know, he always knew how to pitch, you know, he went fast forward to when he went to college, Old Dominion, you know, he was, you know, he beat 3 nationally ranked teams throwing 85. You know, he just knew how to pitch. So, like, that was my whole focal point. Just, you know, have a good delivery and just increase your odds.
And Johnny, how beneficial was that for you to have a guy that knows so much about baseball in your corner helping you figure this way out?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, you know, the best case scenario. Just growing up and, you know, knowing that I had all the right things being taught to me, and I had somebody that I could trust, because, you know, especially these days, there's a lot of coaches out there who have their own opinions, and if it's not done their way, you know, it's wrong. And it was cool, actually, because, you know, I grew up and he basically taught me everything that I knew. And then once I got to college and now into pro ball, you know, I've learned a ton of new stuff about, because the game's evolved a lot, you know, especially with all the analytics nowadays. So now, like, I'm able to teach him a bunch of stuff about kind of the newer stuff, you know, a little bit about, because when growing up, it was more just kind of basic delivery stuff, right? Which was like, you built a really good, solid foundation for me. And then once I got into college and then pro ball, I started to understand a little bit deeper about, you know, the lower half stuff and all this extra fancy lingo. And so it's been cool. But yeah, it was really good growing up for sure.
I want to jump to the story of you getting signed by the Twins. If you could just walk us through how that went down and what that moment was like for you.
Yeah, so it was a COVID year, and it was a really weird time. I just got back from an injury. You know, I'd been hurt for basically 3 years in college. Got back in 2020, threw 8 innings. Our season gets canceled. So it was like a really weird time. Nobody really knew what was going to happen, especially with summer ball coming up. I was lucky enough to find a league up in North Dakota, in the Northwoods. And I went up there to throw. And Alex Hassan, the farm director at the time, actually called me the night before my flight. It was like 10:30 at night and said, like, unknown caller. And usually I just decline those, but this happened to be the one time I picked it up. And he said, "Hey, John, this is Alex with the Minnesota Twins. You know, we're interested in seeing if you wanted to sign a professional contract with us." And I basically explained to him the situation. And because if I had signed, it basically would have just went right into the offseason because there was no minor league season that year. And I told him, you know, I need innings. I hadn't thrown any innings in 3 years, basically. And so he was understanding about that. And he basically said that, you know, go up to North Dakota, go pitch this summer. We'll circle back at the end of the summer, see how you do. And so I went up there and I threw, I think it was 25 scoreless innings. And so it was kind of, and then I reached back out to him and towards the end of August and, you know, felt like I was back to myself. And he gave me a call and they offered me on the spot. And I told him I would call my dad real quick, let him know. And then they flew me out to Target Field a few days later. And I think the cool thing about the whole situation, how it unfolded, was when Alex had originally called me in June, I called my dad right after and told him, and he was caught off guard. Like, he had no clue that was happening. They didn't tell him anything. So it was nice that, you know, because I told him I didn't want any favors. Like, you know, if it's a favor, then I feel like I'm taking somebody's spot, taking innings from somebody else. And that's not what I wanted. You know, I wanted to feel like I had earned this 100%. And that was what Alex had basically explained to me.
So, John, what was this from your side of things? So is it true you had no idea this was coming when you got that phone call?
No idea. Swear to God. I'd never wanted to play the nepotism card. You know, maybe if he was 23 and he used up his college eligibility and we needed a guy, then maybe I'd pull the card out. But at that point, we were just focused on getting him back in, you know, to the throwing routine, you know, and with COVID, I didn't know what summer leagues were going to play. So I figured, you know, I'm in the hotbed right here in New York, New Jersey. We were the hotbed, ground zero for COVID. So I figured the further away I could get him, you know, would be better. So I called our scout in Canada about this Northwoods League, and he had a connection to the team we wound up hooking him up with. So when he called me and said Alex had called, I was completely off guard. I never filled out a report. I never, you know, submitted any video or anything. You know, I just figured, you know, that they'll figure it out. They know who he is. He actually pitched my scouting director and our East Coast supervisor were at a game. He pitched at Old Dominion because his freshman year, the shortstop went in the fifth round, I think. So our scouting director and East Coast supervisor came in to watch him watch the shortstop, and John pitched. And my scouting director said, "Hey, I got a 3 o'clock flight. So, you know, we're only going to stay like 4 or 5 innings." I said, "No problem." And the other kid was throwing strikes, and we were in the top of the seventh in 55 minutes. So he wound up watching just about the whole game. So they knew he could pitch. But I just, when after the initial phone call, he called me up and said, "Alex, you know, want to know if you want to sign." I called my scouting director and said, look, we don't want any favors. And he's like, it's not a favor. We know he can pitch. We think we can develop some velocity. So I just said, okay, that's up to you guys, but I'm out. Like, so they've handled it. You know, from day one, I have no interaction with player development or anything, or I don't, you know, make any phone calls or anything. I don't coach him anymore. Like, he's got coaches. So we'll talk, and like he was saying before, like, he teaches me. I'll see a college kid and I'll get like the analytics, like, you know, the fastball, like the TrackMan, the Rapsodo stuff. And I'll send it to him. I'll say, hey, how does this look? You know, cause I'm not savvy on the analytical side. I'm working on it, but he knows more about it than I do. So it's actually pretty funny.
Now that you're, you know, with the Twins organization, Johnny, I mean, has this been a dream come true, you know, playing for the organization that you grew up rooting for and going to all these games and events for?
100%. Yeah. I mean, when Alex called me and offered me, and, you know, I had an opportunity to sign with the Twins, you know, it was going to be hard to say no to that. And I remember talking to my college coach about it. It was right after I signed, I went right back to school and basically just started working out immediately. And I told him, you know, like, it doesn't even feel real. Like, it just feels weird, you know, because I've been wearing Twins gear my whole life. You know, I've been a Twins fan. My travel team was the Twins. And he said, you know, it would probably feel a little bit different if you were wearing a Brewers hat or a Brewers shirt, right? So it was just kind of natural, you know. Our house was filled with Twins gear, Twins jerseys, hats, everything. So it wasn't really much of a big change.
And John, for you, I mean, how has it been? You know, now you get to watch your son when you watch Twins minor league games.
Yeah, it's but you know, I still have the dad hat on, and I'm still stressed and pacing, and you know, talking to the computer, hey, throw strikes or whatever. And you know, I've always been able to separate my job from, with also being a dad and just, you know, just taking it all in and enjoying it like every other father. You know, it's fun. You know, he's doing good. And like we both said, you know, we both feel he's earned it. And let's just keep getting better, you know?
All right, guys, we're running out of time here, but I want to finish with this. You must have filled something out at Old Dominion where they asked you what your favorite food was. Do you remember what you put down on that sheet for what your favorite food was as listed on the Old Dominion website? Just don't say it. Do you remember, yes or no, is the question?
I think so.
Okay. John, do you have any idea what Johnny would have told Old Dominion his favorite food is?
Probably pork roll, egg, and cheese.
Johnny, what's your answer that you think you put down?
I think that's what I put.
I think you put peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Okay. I knew it was one of the two.
I'm a peanut butter jelly sandwich guy myself. But guys, I want to thank you so much for hopping on and taking some time to chat. I know you guys are both very busy in professional baseball, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Calvin.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun.
All right, that was Season 3, Episode 4, the Colonel's All Ear Podcast, presented to you by Miracle Ear. Episode 5 coming out soon.
Choosing Miracle Ear was a great decision. Like when I decided to host family movie nights. Miracle Ear made it easy. I just booked an appointment and a certified hearing care professional evaluated my hearing loss and helped me find the right device calibrated to my unique hearing needs. Now I enjoy every moment, the quiet ones and the loud ones.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.